Lord. In hope, we give you thanks. Lord, we pray, we keep praying for Roger. We give you thanks that he's eating again, but we continue to pray for the healing of his stomach. We continue to pray for Stuart. We continue to pray for Lottie and these people who have been handed what seems like a death certificate. But Lord, we say it's a certificate of adoption, because once we're adopted, we know where our place is. We know that we have been adopted by you. And so, Lord, we thank you for adopting us as grandmas. You've given us a new status. You've changed our status. And, Lord, we lift up to you all the concerns that we have in our heart, which is many, sometimes much too much to speak in the next hour, but just the ones that we've spoken, Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for Israel, the favorite place of your hand, and the people that need your shalom. We pray for the people who are on that Malaysian flight. We pray for the country of the Netherlands. That's a great loss to so many people, and all the other ones that were lost on the airplane. I don't know how we can't weep that somebody lost their mom or their dad or their cousin or their brother or their best friend. And Lord, we weep that this has even caused a greater war or trial and tribulation between Russia and Ukraine. And now, Lord, we pray that in Romans 8, that we know that all things work for the better of your good, even though we can't see it now. We pray that you use the United States of America and its wisdom. Give us wisdom and revelation to calm such a war-torn country that's on the verge. We pray for wisdom and revelation over our government, God. Let us speak truth to the situation. Lord, we pray for Andy's mom as he lost his mother. We pray for the truck driver, Chapman, and we pray for the trucking company, and we pray for the child and the mother's family. We pray, oh Lord, that you send peace and serenity and just a knowing that there's no guilt or shame, that this was an accident. But out of this, we know once again that all things work for the better of your good. If we could just have hope. And what hope is knowing without seeing. We hope, Lord, that you send a missionary or someone who knows the gospel to their doorstep to give revelation and wisdom, to bring your presence into the room so they may not be alone. They might not go through this alone. And Lord, speaking of alone, we pray for those who are left in isolation, the ones who are trapped inside their home, who know no one. Lord, reveal to us, the people sitting here, what your will is for their life. Reveal that someone is waiting on them just to hear your voice and respond. Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray for the church. Bring peace like the balm of Gilead and rub the salve of your love over our hearts in this day. Lord, we praise you with you are a steadfast love, for your presence never abandons us, but it is at our side in all of life. There is no cobweb corner, there is not claimed by your grace. It's you we praise, teller of parables. Your words challenge us in moments of doubt, as well as in our times of great faith. We run around in circles, chasing our worries and our fears like a dog after its tail. You whisper hope to us, calling us back home. It's you we praise, Spirit, who calls to our hearts, that your voice is that gentle whisper in a world filled with angry shouts. Your joy that is refreshing, shower with despair that parches our souls. Your wonder opens our eyes and our ears to the gifts which surround our lives. It's you that we praise, God, in community, holy and one, even as we pray, as we are taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And all right, our message this morning comes from the book of Romans. It actually comes from the 8th chapter. And the 8th chapter is a pretty long chapter, so I'm not going to read the whole entire thing. But in conclusion, Paul says this, in conclusion of all of chapter 8. There is therefore no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to say, we know that. We know there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we know that because for those who are in Christ Jesus, all things work for the better of God's good. For those who are called according to his purpose. That's hard. We just prayed for all those people who died in an airplane. The man in the truck who hit the two children, and there's no, I'm not blaming, I'm just saying, it's hard. It's hard to look at that and say, God, where's your work in that? That all things, even trial, tribulation, and cancer, that all things work for the better of God's good. Because he's called you according to your purpose. And I think to myself, are we acting on our purpose? We look at Israel, and I don't know if you've been watching the news, when the three Jewish boys were kidnapped and murdered, and then the Palestinian boy was burnt to death, and you see Israel just on the verge. And it's been on the verge for a long time, I think, people, but really, now, it's really, and I think, what is our purpose in this? God, if all things work for the better of your good, according to your word, what's the purpose in this? And at the end of the 8th chapter, he says, Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The purpose is that we become victorious, even when we suffer, even when things are going bad. He calls us to a better, greater identity and destiny. And in between the beginning of the 8th chapter and the end of the 8th chapter, there's something seriously important that gets us over the bridge. And it's in the 12th verse. And it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Okay, we know that he's not talking about just men. He's talking about his kids. Male and female, Gentile, Jew, slave and free. To receive the Spirit of adoption. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery. You didn't receive it. In other words, I'm not the one that gave you that spirit. I'm not the one that gave you that spirit. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received the spirit of adoptions as sons. So then we cry, Abba, Father. Just amazes me what fear does to people. And just in that little tiny, I mean, the 8th chapter of Romans is huge. There's so much in it. You could preach it for like a year, I'm pretty sure. But just that little tiny section, those words just bounced right off the page. I did not give you the spirit of slavery so that you could fall back into fear. I gave you my Holy Spirit, which causes you to live. I just want to talk about what fear is and how we get victorious, like Paul says, because after After all this, what? We're victorious. We're conquerors. We're more than conquerors in Christ, some translations say. We're more than conquerors. So what is fear? F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. God said, I never gave you that false evidence that I'm not real. I never gave you that false evidence that I'm not your provider. I never gave you that false evidence. The enemy gave you that false evidence. And not only did I not give you that false evidence, but it's keeping you from what I called you to do according to my will. So there are literally thousands of fears that bind us from becoming the full sons, emphasis on full, and the daughters of Christ. Fears that keep us from our true identity. Fears of cats, fears of trees, fears of traveling on airplanes, fears of cars, being alone, being rejected, being around people, fears of intimacy, relationships, commitment, poverty, fear, even of fears of success, fears of losing what you have, the opinions of others, and impending sickness. Fear of that what word? The C word. Some of us won't even go to the doctor because we fear that that bump is what? False evidence appearing real. So fear is a spirit that not only comes from the enemy, that keeps you in bondage from living a life that is free in the spirit. The spirit of fear has become successful. This is how it becomes successful. This is how it manifests in our lives, is when you put to mind that your little fear is no big deal because it doesn't affect anybody else but you. I had a conversation with somebody over the weekend, and this person was struggling with fear from finance. And I said, what is it that you're destined to do? What is it? I mean, because you only know you, right? I mean, I don't. And the Spirit knows you, which means the Father and the Son know you, because when I say the Spirit, I'm talking about all three, okay? And you know you. I hope you know you. And you know that burning, some of us have this burning to do something, whether it's even just to go visit, it's something. I'm not making anything big or anything small. I'm just saying something. And you have this fear. But the fear doesn't just keep you in bondage. It keeps the persons who are waiting for you to do what you're called to do in bondage. So this person was fearing of not being financially free because they really want to go counsel missionaries. I said, if that's what God's called, destined you to do, stop fearing. Because those missionaries are waiting for you to get off the plane and counsel them. So they can keep being missionaries. So that the people that they're missioning to can receive salvation. You see what I'm saying? So your fear of getting in a car or fear of getting on a plane or your fear of whatever your fear is. God said, I didn't give you that fear. That's false evidence appearing real. I gave you the Spirit that gives you freedom. So when we become a slave to unfounded fear, you also become, or I also become, a slave to faulty beliefs. Non-productive behaviors, self-defeating paradigms, maladaptive practices. That's my favorite. I didn't even know what that meant the other day until I looked it up. Maladaptive practices. Ineffective and inappropriate responses that are inconsistent with your desire, your well-being, and your success and your prosperity. Let's go back to maladaptive practices. I love big words. I love learning big words. So I Googled from this free dictionary website, maladaptive practices. Now we're talking becoming what? The sons and daughters of Christ, right? Because that's our true identity. I didn't write it. Romans 8. Now you've received the adoption of sonship. Now you've received it. Okay. But fear keeps you, slavery keeps you, in maladaptive practice. And this is what maladaptive practice is. This is just so good. It is unsuitably or adapting poorly to a new or modified atmosphere. Okay, now let's go back to the Bible and find out a maladaptive practice. The Jews. Who's their leader? Moses with a stick. Moses leads them out of Egypt. I'm pretty sure some of us know the story. Leads them out of Egypt, and the first obstacle is the Red Sea. Yep. And Moses got the stick, and they're so happy at first to be out of Egypt because they came from slavery, which caused fear. So now they're free. They're free. They're free. They're free. They get to the Red Sea, and you know the first thing they say to Moses? Why have you led us out into this wilderness? There were enough graves in Egypt. Fear, false evidence appearing real. And so ever since then, they could not get out of the mindset that they were free. They lived in fear, which kept them bond to slavery. Maladaptive practice. That's what fear does for us. Because what? God intends for us to be in fullness. I think that's what you, right? And the earth is groaning for the full and mature sons and daughters of Christ. Didn't say aliens or foreigners. It said sons, right? I mean, we can go back there. God's still waiting for us to really receive it. Put it in our head. Make it become true, reality. So what? So that all of his purposes come to fruition according to his will. The reason God gave us the Holy Spirit is that so that we could realize our potential. Because when we become an adopted son or daughter of Christ, we then realize what we have in the kingdom of God. There is no other power like fear that can render you as helpless, that can tie your hands and bind your mind and control and vex and torment you like the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear keeps our image of God distorted. And the spirit of fear looks at God as a master, someone who whips him when he does something wrong. But the spirit of the Holy One says, you can call him what? Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa. With the spirit of fear, we depend on ourselves. I can do it. I don't need you. I'm independent. Right? I'll get this by myself. I got this. The Holy Spirit says what? Let me help you with the empowering indwelling of the power from the God that I have. The Holy Spirit. Let me help you with this indwelling and the empowering. All authority has been given unto you. We start to rely on what we do not see, and only in what we believe. With a spirit of slavery, we look at Christian disciples as a duty to earn God's favor. And what I mean by Christian disciples, I mean fasting and praying and travailing and weeping and intercessing and all those Christian disciples or disciplines, all those Christian disciplines. And some are very hard for us to do. That's why people are called to do them. And we think if we do it just enough and we do it just right, God will favor us. That's the spirit of slavery and bondage. But the spirit of the Holy Spirit says, come and see how good he is. Delight in me. When we remain to see ourselves as slaves, we live a life of self-rejection, constantly comparing ourselves to others. But when we come into the fullness that we have been adopted to the family, everything is okay. Even if we come in dirty and stinky and, you know, we come into the family. We're no longer looking inside of the glass window. We're now inside of the house. The adoption lets you inside the door. And I said this in Minnesota City today. Funny story. My first week there, Minnesota City has these registers, and no one told me not to step on the register. No one told me that the air comes up like on a timer. No one told me this. Why would they tell their pastor this? Because they didn't think, you know. John was the pastor before, and he was a man, so he definitely wasn't going to wear a skirt. You know what I'm saying, right? And so I preach all over the place. And Minnesota City is really small, so it's not hard to go from one side of the church to the other real fast. And so I stepped on the crate or on the register. The fan came on. It was a Marilyn Monroe moment. And yeah, it was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. But you know the funniest thing is, even though we kid about that all the time, it didn't bother them. They're like, Monique, it's okay. You know, like, do you know what I'm saying? It was like, this is my family now. Obviously, they've seen the bareness of me, so they're really my family. I mean, you know, this is what happens when we come into the fullness of who we are in Christ. With all of our stuff, our status is changed through Christ. We gain access into God's household. We share in all the benefits that Christ has won for us. We now have the great privilege of calling us God our Father. God has given us this great gift of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and testify to our spirits that we are indeed his children. Romans 8, Paul uses two terms, sons and children. And they mean two different things. Sons, let's go way back to the context, okay? Because this doesn't really work for us today. We're in 2014. But when you had a boy, way back when, he inherited everything from the father. The father left the land. He left the farm. He left the money. He left it to the boy, right? He left it to the boys. He left it to the sons. That's just in context of the scripture. Because Paul would have never known in 2014 what we do now. So what Paul is saying is, listen, now that you are, that's why he keeps saying son of God, you have inheritance, you have abundance, you have provision, you have protection. And what else do sons do to the family name? They carry it on. So God is saying to both sons and daughters, you are my children now, carry on my legacy. Carry on my provision, carry on my protection, carry on whatever it is that's in the kingdom of God for you, whatever God has in the house, you are allowed to come in and have it and take it out. To what? To do the will of the Father with it. He also uses this word, Abba, Daddy, Papa. And let me say just another, maybe this didn't happen, I don't know, in my life this happened, so I'm only speaking out of my experience. I had a best friend, her name was Marsha McKinney, her and I were inseparable. And at first it was Mrs. McKinney and Mr. McKinney when I walked in the house. But after she disciplined me, it became Mom. Very good. Okay, you all didn't do that with your best friend's mom and dad? I mean, maybe you didn't. Maybe you still called them Mr. and Mrs. But once Marsha McKinney's mom disciplined me, which we needed it. We were terrors on two motorbikes. We tore up the town of Snover on our motorbikes. And she caught us one day. And she disciplined both of us. Enough for my mother and my father. And okay. And after that, I just saw her as my mom. So I called her Mom. And she was my second mother. That's what happens when God calls us into. We're no longer outside looking in. Now we're his kids. Our status has changed. Fear says, I had a burden to pray for the sick, but I was afraid to learn to drive, so I never got away from my house. Fear says, I was the shy type, so I never got into witnessing. Fear says, I was afraid to tithe. I wouldn't have enough for myself, and so I was afraid to trust you to be the provisional father that you are. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. There's no dread that exists, but only full-grown, complete, perfect love that turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the fullness or the maturity of love. When you get your adoption papers, we become one with Christ. and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. We accept the love of the Father's heart, even though times of trials and temptations and those suffering moments come. And all I can remember about one of my big first suffering moments of the Father, trusting the Father, you know, trusting the Father's heart of love, is when I was a little kid and I had a bike, and my bike was yellow and orange, and it was my brand new banana seat bike with the flags at the end of the rubber handles. And I don't know what my mom was thinking, but she put me in this red dress to get on my bike with red stockings and black little shoes. See, it was trauma because I remember all that. And guess who had to help me ride this bike? Guess who taught me how to ride my bike? My dad, Abba, Father, Daddy. And I remember him putting me on this bike, and he said, see, you already know the story, right? I'm right here. I got my hand on the, one hand on the back of the bike and one hand on the steering wheel, or on the front. I'm right here. You ready? You ready? Yep. And I'm all excited, and I'm scared. I'm in fear, right? I'm scared. And then day after day, Dad came home, and the first thing I wanted to do was what? Get on the bike. I wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to let go yet. But one day, Dad let go. And I looked back, and fear struck, and I fell. But God said, but Dad says, what? What does Dad say? Get back up. I'm right here for you. Let's do it again. Sometimes when we fall, we have false evidence appearing real. We don't think God's going to pick us back up. But he said, surely, surely, surely I have given you the Holy Spirit. And you know I am never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you. And I'm never going to leave you abandoned. I'm going to be right here. And don't fear. Don't fear the world's troubles or, you know, times of trouble and trial. It's okay. I'm your dad now. Don't be so bound up that you're scared to do what you're called to do. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. Don't be a slave. No mindset of slavery is going to get you anywhere. You have a family now, the family of God. Should be here for one another to get us through, to hang on to the, you know, I still can't ride a bike. That's funny. That was a funny moment. I still cannot, I'm not real a good bike rider. I mean, I'm still pretty, give me a motorbike, but give me a bicycle. It's terrible. And I really think I should go home today and try to ride a bike. No, I, seriously, why? Because I think I still fear that stupid bike. I think I still fear falling over and nobody picking. I have a bike. It's like still brand new. I don't think it's really ever been ridden. I hope that it's a banana seat. It's not. It might hurt for a while, but that's okay. I think I'm going to go home and I'm going to take a bike ride. And God and I are going to have a talk about what I fear. Let's pray. Gracious God, I thank you for your revelatory word. I pray that maybe it hit some home for all of, maybe, you know, some of us, they would be in confidence going, yeah, we get this. We got that. I've conquered my fear. I praise God for that. Man, but I know in my life, there's just some fears that I didn't even realize I had until just now when you told me I still had fear of that bike. And I have not been, I have had a maladaptive practice. I have adapted poorly to how to ride a bike. And Lord, I repent that maybe you gave me that bike to go visit somebody who was sick. There's probably some, you know, aged man down my road that I could ride my bike to. I mean, what kind of thing have I been that living in fear and bondage and slavery when I know you called me to do something greater than that? So Lord, I pray for these people. I pray for each and every one of their souls and their spirit. I pray for the spirit to just rise up and take control over the fearful situations that they come up in their lives, whatever it be. Whatever it be, God, you have adopted us, and no one can take that away except for us. You have adopted us into the family. We're no longer looking from the outside in. We're in the house. And so we come to your table and we feast and we pray and we do all the things that you called us to do in obedience, because obedience is better than sacrifice. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory. Amen.